And we're joined now by longtime NHLer, TNT hockey analyst. One of our favorites here on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Darren Pang. How you doing, Panger?
I'm doing fantastic. Just listening to you guys. And an old Ottawa area guy, Al Murray, was one of Steve's major amateur scouts over there and in Tampa Bay. And, you know, who's doing a great job with Steve in Detroit right now as a top-end amateur guy is Chris Draper. Hmm. He went from being on the pro side to when Steve took over, got him on the amateur side, and he has got a great eye. So surround yourself with good people and good things happen, I guess, is the way that story works, huh?
Panger, we were talking about goaltenders. How come, like you talked about Drapes having a great amateur eye, is there like a shortage of goaltenders? Like where do you find some more? Like it seems like there's 10 elite ones and everyone's scratching and clawing to find a quality goaltender in the NHL.
So you're asking me that and you said shortage of goalies. Is that like...
No, I'm not smart enough to think to put that together, Panger.
I knew that, O-Dog. Oh, hey, O-Dog, by the way, before I answer that, I was on PGA XM radio the other night talking about golf instead of hockey. It was the best thing ever.
Oh, man, I'm jealous.
I thought you'd like that. You know what? I agree with you. I mean, we've expanded to 32 teams. I mean, 60. You're asking for 64 top-end goaltenders, and then you need to add three more on. Then you have to have 32 more on top of that. You need three goaltenders. Mm-hmm. So is there a shortage? Yeah, I think there is. I think the quality of goaltending, maybe some of the guys have been rushed into it, or some guys that you thought were going to be high-end guys haven't been as good as what you think. I do believe, and it's funny that I'm sure guys in the older days that get criticized for their goals that were scored, you know, get criticized from people that don't, you know, maybe not know it. They're like, well, the goaltending back then was bad. Well, I don't know about you, man, and you played in that era, but you know, the Kudos, the Felix Potvin, then the Hasek's, Belfors, Piers, Waz, Brodeurs. I mean, you know, the Kolzigs. I mean, I could go on and on about the list. I know I missed a bunch of them, but I mean, I think the goaltenders of that era were stronger than the goaltenders of this era. Now, I'm not saying way back in 70, I don't know what year, 76, 77, 78, I don't know. Those eras, there was a little bit of a transition in goaltending and curvature of the sticks and quality of the shots. But right now, I don't see the high-end goaltending around the league, and I think that's an area that's been exposed, especially... You know what, O-Dog, especially with the amount of minor penalties being called and the freedom to roam, the amount of shots from the slot where guys, I mean, I did that game last night in Columbus. And, you know, at one point I'm thinking, what if there were four Scott Stevens out on this ice and those guys were dragging the puck with their head down through the middle of the ice in the slot? You know, they're creating unbelievable scoring chances. You know, that also make it difficult for goaltenders that might not be the highest end of goaltenders in the NHL.
Panger, before we get back into that game last night in the clinic that Tage Thompson put on, just sticking with the goaltenders for a second, we were talking about Jack Campbell last hour. What is he doing right now to try to get back on the rails? Because it's clearly off, and he's not playing. So is he just, like Noodles when he's on, he talks about it being a reset. What exactly is he doing, or do you think he's doing?
Well, I think there's always a transition too in going to another team, another goaltending coach, which something that, you know, I'm sure Noodles got as well, because I know I do. When you go from, you know, let's say you're a high end, you know, goaltender, for example, Sebastian Kosa, first round draft pick of Detroit, you know, last year spent time, goes all the way to the Memorial Cup. Goes to prospects camp, that's probably a different goalie coach. Goes to training camp, a different goalie coach. Now he's in the ECHL, a different goalie coach. So, you know, I think maybe the transition for a guy like Jack is maybe some of the footwork stuff, maybe some of the drills he did, maybe the comforts he found in the defensemen in Toronto now are different in Edmonton. I can't believe the pressure would be any different. I mean, it doesn't get any higher than being in Toronto, and he handled that very well. But it might just be something in his balance, something in his stance, something in the way that the goaltending coach, you know, is asking him to do that maybe he's not as comfortable with. That's all I can think of, because there'd be no reason other than the change in culture, change in the city, change in going there with maybe your wife, your family, and you just haven't got it going, O-Dog. But, I mean, if you're a goalie, you're a goalie. You get on top of your crease, you shuffle, you do X drills, Y drills, Z drills, you stop the puck, you face it, and it should be okay. But, yeah, there's been a major adjustment for him. And I agree with the Noodles on the, you know, I don't know, we can call it a reset. But, you know, I don't know about you, but when I stop hitting my driver well, and then all the, you know, then I take a little bit of a break and I come back at it, and all of a sudden I've got tempo back and my driver's going right down the middle, then life is awfully good. So sometimes just getting away from it is you find your stance again, or you find your balance, you find your rhythm back again.
We're chatting with Darren Pang. So, Pang, you mentioned you were in Columbus last night, and Tage Thompson, he ends up with 5 goals and an assist, 6 points on the night, but he had 4 goals in the first period. What was that like to witness live?
It was something else. And that was in, what, over 5.5 minutes? That's it?
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I kept thinking, you know, there was a lot of penalty calls against Columbus. And I went into the game feeling bad for Columbus. I mean, they just said, you know, they're just up against it. I mean, they're not a playoff team with all the guys that are injured. And yet they, you know, now they've got all the guys injured. They get out there and they had nothing in their game. And then power play after power play. But as far as the energy and the excitement, I was thinking to myself, hopefully these fans stay here because he's going to score 6 or 7 and it's going to go down in the record books, you know, at least they can enjoy that. So it was every time he got the puck, or every time Alex Tuck got the puck, or Jeff Skinner got the puck, all I looked for was where's number 72, because he's had a great year as it is, but that was something special to watch. And I honestly thought he was going to get 6 or 7 last night.
At what goal did 99 text you? I saw your little name dropping there during the game, Darren. What goal did 99 drop in?
When he scored his second goal, he said he can score 6. And I'm thinking, only Gretz thinks of, you know, he's thinking way ahead. I'm thinking this is going to be a blowout, and are people still going to be watching on TV?
Right.
Period. And then the whole way, I actually sent him one back thinking, hey, you know, 5-on-3, first period, the score's 5-0. Put the number one power play unit out there again. And he's like, yep, didn't you watch Vancouver the other night? And I'm like, okay, I guess you got to score as many goals as you can, because it's the league of comebacks right now. 44% of the games are won in comeback fashion from one goal or more. So, yeah, I guess he's right. Just keep scoring goals and keep piling on.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. We're chatting with Darren Pang of the NHL on TNT. We were talking about Gretzky, a couple different things, a couple records of his, including, obviously, the amount of goals he scored, 894, where now Ovechkin is within 100, within 99 of 99. And we were curious, you know, just watching Ovi last night, how many empty netters Gretzky had. He had 56 all-time. That's the most ever. Ovechkin is up to 51. That is the second all-time. So I guess that's not ultimately a surprise, but what did you make of Ovi in particular last night, Panger? I mean, he gets the one empty netter, game's over, they keep him out there, and he gets the second one, and obviously, the I think it was Philly, they weren't overly happy with it, but is that, you know, breaking any unwritten rules or what? Or does the whole league just understand Ovi's chasing history, and if it's going to be empty netters, yeah, so be it?
I want him to work hard for those goals. That's all. But it's you know, that's the game. There's nothing illegal about scoring an empty net goal, and if your coach has used you your whole career for empty net goals, which he has, then so be it. I mean, Wayne, as you mentioned, is the leader in that department. You know, you put your skill players out on the ice in those areas because they know how to fire the puck into the empty net, and if the bottom line is winning a game or securing a one-goal lead and making a two-goal lead, then so be it. I would hope that his you know, record-breaking goal, if he gets to that point, that it won't be an empty net goal. But I think you're probably all thinking the same too. I mean, you'd want it to be a one-timer from the left face-off dot, you know, on the power play from Backstrom, and then if you're going to break it, that would be the way to break it. But you know, if they didn't utilize him ever, and he was never an empty net guy, and all of a sudden Peter Laviolette sold him on every single situation, you'd kind of be like, ah. But he's been out there for his whole career on empty net goals.
Well, Darren, speaking of Gretzky, we were talking earlier, and speaking of Tage Thompson, actually, we were talking about Daryl Sittler's 10-point night and whether that would ever happen again. Do you think it's, like, done, like it'll never happen again? We were just thinking, like, could Connor McDavid do it one night? But sure. I don't know. Do you see it being possible nowadays?
Yeah, and I guess it depends. Are we, you know, you get into that three-on-three, which they didn't have back then, and Gretz didn't have it. So, I mean, that's an advantage for any of these players. You know, we've got a lot of guys that have gotten a lot of points three-on-three, but is it possible? Yeah, I mean, you know, like Kyle Loposo leaned into me last night, you know, I'm between the benches, and I've done a ton of Buffalo Sabres games, and you know, it's comfortable kind of leaning in and asking. I'm like, does he know what the record is? Or no, I said, do you guys know what the record is? And he said, yeah, it's seven. And I said, does he know what the record is? And he goes, yeah, we want him to break it. And I thought that was great. Like Kyle Loposo said it so clearly. You only get one chance, is what he said to me. You only get one chance to break a record of this significance. We want him to break it. So I mean, I was thinking that he was really going to get fed in that third period. He seemed a little more hesitant in the third, or maybe they were trying real hard to get it to him, or maybe Columbus finally backchecked in the third period. But whatever the reason might be, he didn't really get any clean looks in the third like he was getting in the first and second.
With Darren Pang, Panger, we'll get you out of here on a Maple Leaf question. We ask you basically every time you're on to kind of give us the outsider's view. They've got points in 12 straight.
They're listening to your last conversation, Panger. They're doing all the things you talked about, pal.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to fix everybody. I'm like Ray Donovan. I'm the fixer.
It's going pretty well, though, isn't it? I mean, even with all these injuries, the Leafs, all they do is pick up points.
All they do is pick up points. And since we talked, I think the best player has been Mitch, and they're continuing rolling that way, and they're defending better, and they're going to the front of the net of the opposition better. So unlike the one game that I watched when they played the New Jersey Devils where they couldn't even get to the front of the net, or they were reluctant to do so, you know, now they're playing a better team game, a better five-man game, and I don't know. That's the only way you win in this league. Like, I see a lot of good teams that still want to play it board-to-board and dot-to-dot and heel-to-toe saucer pass all over the ice, and you know, you can't win that way. You've got to go to the crease, like Tavares goes to the crease all the time. Like, I'm watching the Blues now, and Ryan O'Reilly's having some success now. 8 goals in his last, 15? And they're all from 1 inch from the goal crease, every single one of them. So that's the only way to score goals, and especially if you're in a bit of a funk and you're not winning, you have to lead the way that way.
Absolutely. Great stuff, Panger. We always appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you for this.
Always my pleasure. I got the Blues and the Jets tonight right here in a Central Division battle. So
beautiful.
Looking forward to that.
Enjoy it. Thank you for this.
All right.
There he is, Darren Pang of the NHL on TNT. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.